This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Kevin Keats in about a half an hour. But Wes, another big award. And this is the one that, to be honest with you, I was the most curious about. And that is the ACC Coach of the Year. Because I do think you got about three or four in the hunt here. And I thought it would be a Dave Doran, Brian Kelly, Manny Diaz kind of fist fight down the stretch here. And I'm curious to see what this is going to be. This will be good.
Well, let's get right to it. Here at the top of the hour, the ACC Football Coach of the Year, the last one we have to announce for you. The winner is Brian Kelly of Notre Dame. He is the 2020 ACC Coach of the Year. Of course, an undefeated regular season. The Irish defeated last Saturday in Charlotte in the ACC Championship game. And they'll meet Alabama in the Rose Bowl in Arlington on New Year's Day as the four seed in the college football playoff. So Brian Kelly of Notre Dame, in the Irish's first season ever in a football conference, is the Coach of the Year. By the way, this goes in line with not only winning Big East Coach of the Year when he was at Cincinnati, he also was the GLIAC Coach of the Year when he was at Great Lakes. Somehow or another was not the MAC Coach of the Year when he worked in the MAC. Mark, I'm still working through that one. Two-time AP College Football Coach of the Year, the Home Depot Coach of the Year three times, Eddie Robinson, Walter Camp, and, of course, the Bobby Dodd Coach of the Year two seasons ago for Brian Kelly. So now he's the first Notre Dame coach to win a Conference Coach of the Year, joining Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and Kyren Williams, who were other individual award winners today for Notre Dame.
Notre Dame had a pretty good haul here in the awards, didn't they?
Did a nice job.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, at the end of the day, it is about hardware. Now, granted, Clemson's got the piece of hardware that everybody wanted, and that was being the ACC champ. And I, from what I understand now that we've now announced this, that the vote for the Coach of the Year was decided by a single vote. One.
That is correct.
Vote. Okay. Changed.
Yep.
One vote the other way. Dave Doran came in second, right? Is that correct?
That is correct. Dave Doran of NC State was second. One vote behind Brian Kelly.
Wow.
Seven behind Dave Doran. In third was Jeff Hafley of Boston College and Dabo Swinney of Clemson, both tied for third. One vote behind them was Manny Diaz of Miami. And then just behind Coach Diaz was Mack Brown. So you had six guys in this group that they used to select all ACC. That's how tight the race was for Coach of the Year. I might also add that the other awards we've announced today, the Player of the Year, Trevor Lawrence won going away for Player of the Year. He had about five times the number of votes as number two, which was Travis Etienne. Trevor had 45 of the possible votes. Seven was second for Travis Etienne. Ian Book of Notre Dame was third. Defensive Player of the Year, same thing. Three times the number of votes for Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah of Notre Dame. Jalen Phillips of Miami was second. Rashad Weaver of Pittsburgh, one behind Phillips. And then two behind Phillips was Patrick Jones of Pittsburgh, tied with Peyton Wilson of NC State for Defensive Player of the Year. But yeah, the Player of the Year voting, dominated by Trevor Lawrence, the Defensive Player of the Year award, Owusu-Koramoah. Kyren Williams had nearly three times the number for Offensive Rookie of the Year for first place. Next was Jordan Addison of Pittsburgh, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Brian Brzee had double the number of his teammate, Miles Murphy. So that just kind of gives you how close Coach of the Year was in comparison to the individual player awards we announced earlier
today. And that's why I was so interested in the Coach of the Year vote, because I figured it was going to be close. And, you know, Hafley was just great. I thought his first year at BC, and Manny Diaz made huge strides despite that last game, which, again, people were still buzzing about it. And I kind of put some onus on them to play well in their bowl game. But Brian Kelly got the nod over Dave Doran. Now, again, I'm just going to tell you for the record, I do not vote. I don't like voting any of this stuff. But if I had a vote, I would have voted for Dave Dorn.
Again,
Kelly did a great job too. But you know, Dave Dorn, I thought, had a different pressure on him versus what they had a year ago, in which it just was a train wreck with all the injuries, staff changes, COVID, no practices, lose your quarterback. I mean, you name it. Dave Dorn and NC State faced it, and they had to have a good year. I mean, they couldn't have gone back-to-back stinkers in Raleigh. And I thought NC State posted an 8-3 record. Yeah, granted, I know they didn't play Clemson, didn't play Notre Dame, but hey, you play who's on the schedule. And they did knock off two ranked teams when they played them, one being Pitt on the road in the Liberty game at home. I just thought that with everything that they went through, I expected Notre Dame to be good, right? And they turned out to be even better than being a top 10 team. They're in the college football playoff. But I thought the strides made in Raleigh from a year ago versus where the Wolfpack finds themselves today as they get ready to go play the Kentucky in the Gator Bowl, to me, that was the biggest stride and improvement from our team. And I thought Halfley did a great job because just didn't know what to expect for BC. And again, like I said, Diaz did his thing. Mac had a great year. Dabo getting votes. We knew the Tigers were going to be good. But if it were me, it would have been an NC State thing. But again, congratulations to Brian Kelly. He's been down that road before. Like you said, he's won three conference Coach of the Year awards and, of course, the Irish back in the college football playoff.
Yeah, so congratulations to Brian Kelly of Notre Dame on winning ACC Coach of the Year, and it was a tight race, as we anticipated it might be a couple of weeks ago. Also brings us to where Notre Dame is, right? Because they've got an opportunity to play Alabama, which comes up in the college football playoff on New Year's Day. Pack, they're prohibitive underdogs. But you know what? The Irish might be trying to turn that thing into a street fight against the Tide. If they can, maybe it's an interesting ball game. We'll see.
They better figure out a way to play keep away. Now, granted, they're built to do that, right? Control the clock, line of scrimmage, move the chains. I don't think you want to get into a foot race with Alabama. You don't want that to be a shootout, because if it's first to 50, Bama can get there a lot quicker than Notre Dame can. So I think if you're Notre Dame, hey, you got to control the ball, no turnovers. You got to hope Bama helps you out a little bit. Obviously, they've been fantastic on the offensive side, but their defense at times is giving you a little leak job. So I think if you're Notre Dame, hey, you are built for the moment. But as we discussed, not only here, but also in the afternoon radio show, the brightest of lights have been a problem for Notre Dame in terms of modern football. So they'll get a great opportunity, though, in the Rose Bowl or the Rose in Dallas or however they're going to spin that whole thing. But I can't wait to see it. But they've got, you know, after talking to Liam yesterday, hey, you got to figure they are ticked, and they're going to hear from the national media for the next week and a half, you don't belong. Here we go again. Oh, I've seen this act before. Notre Dame, big moment. They're going to get waxed by five It's the best thing to happen in Notre Dame. You know why? Because they are a senior-laden group, 17 senior starters. They've been down the road. They've got a sense of what the college football playoff looked like 2 years ago. And they're going to hear that they are not, or not supposed to be there. And when you got a team with that kind of leadership – and a senior quarterback, be careful. I'm just going to tell you, if you're Alabama, you can't just say, hey, we're just going to roll the ball out there and we'll show up and wax these guys. You might, but you got to be careful on a team that's got that kind of leadership that's getting zero respect nationally. Zero.
How about a little bit of a taste for New Year's Day? Brad Edwards, once again, has crunched the numbers on the Irish and the Crimson Tide.
Dig down deep and fight for every blade of grass. Play Notre Dame football to the Notre Dame standard.
Under Brian Kelly, Notre Dame has become one of the most consistent programs in college football. In the last four seasons, the Fighting Irish are 33-0 when favored by a touchdown or more. Only Alabama over that span has more such victories without a loss. That means Notre Dame wins the games it's supposed to win, which guarantees relevance on the national stage. But there's a big step up from being relevant to being elite. And that's where Irish fans would like to see a little less consistency from their team.
Tigers pouring it on.
The last three times Notre Dame has faced a top four opponent in a championship setting, the results have been humbling. Losses by 28 in a BCS title game, 27 in a playoff semifinal, and 24 in an ACC championship game. That makes it hard to be taken seriously as a national title contender. The Irish enter this semi rated about 15.5 points behind number one Alabama in FPI, which gives further perspective to the challenge they face.
This team has always come back with a resilience and an edge about them, and they will against Alabama as well.
Again, Notre Dame's consistency over the last 4 years is to be applauded, but it hasn't gotten them any closer to the nation's best team. Ratings mean nothing now. The Irish have another chance on the field to show if there's still a gap between themselves and greatness.
Huge, huge game for Notre Dame. I mean, this is a really important game. You talk about wanting to change the national narrative. You got it. Tag, you're it. And so we'll see how they respond after. I know every one of those guys in that locker room in South Bend after Saturday is like, man, we're better than this. Well, now you get a chance to prove it. And it's the game now. I mean, you got number one Alabama waiting on you. We know what the Crimson Tide's all about. Nick Saban, brilliant, greatest of all time. All that good stuff. So, again, tag you're it, Notre Dame. We'll see what comes up on January 1st.
Since 1998, they are 0-6 in a BCS or New Year's Six environment and have been outscored by a total of 144 points. Not one of the six games has been decided by less than 14. So, some would say the Irish are due, Pac. We will see, right?
Well, they have not won a major bowl game since January 1st, 1994. And I'm not stuttering. 1994. January 1st, 2021. Wes Durham will tell you that's 27 years. We know about the national championship, and it's hard to win an Natty, right? I don't care who you are. Winning a national championship, you got to have a special team and a lot of luck. But to win a major bowl for Notre Dame, I don't think that's asking too much. But 27 years in counting, that's what we're talking about. So it's time for ND. And this has got to be the time right now with all these seniors that they've got that lead this football club. So, again, like I said, January 1 is going to be really, really interesting.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Kevin Keats coming up, bottom of the hour. 844-SAY-ACCN. Before we do a little true and false, just a final note regarding the ACC Championship. And we mentioned this earlier. The TV numbers came out, and 10.2 million folks eyeballed Clemson and Notre Dame Saturday. By far, by far, the most watched conference football championship game of the weekend. And Wes, as I pointed out to you, number one, that was a 4 o'clock start. That wasn't the primetime game. That was a 4 o'clock start. And quite frankly, game was over at halftime. I only can imagine what would have happened had the game been competitive into the third or fourth quarters, what the numbers were going to be, because even at halftime, it peaked at 11.6 million. But over a million more people watched the ACC football championship than any other conference championship game. And again, it's a combination of a lot of things there. The hype of the game, it was going into it. It was the game. Two against three, the rematch of the best game in the regular season, which was what took place in South Bend. And again, you tip your hat to Dabo and his guys winning their sixth straight. And for Notre Dame, a disappointment with the effort and the way that thing turned out, but they get a chance for redemption in their next game against Bama. But the TV numbers were really, really good for the ACC.
Yeah, no doubt. And congratulations to the league. I like the 4 o'clock start time too, Pac. I mean, I know primetime's a little different, but it was good to see the ACC move it back into the day a little bit to see how it would look. And I thought it was fine. I thought it played out fine. You know, obviously completely different than what it would be when we had the – you know, normal championship buildup that we've had the last couple of years in Charlotte. But still, nonetheless, I like the timing of the kick and the start time for the league. I don't know if they'll keep it. We'll see. but thought it set up well.
You know, the other thing, too, when you go prime time, at least the last couple of years, those games have been such blowouts. Yeah. From a television standpoint, you're thinking, all right, I'll watch it. If it's interesting, I'll keep on. If not, if Clemson's up by 100 again, I'll find something else to do. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what, you know, that's how the viewing public treats all this stuff. And we've kind of had that with the league the last couple of years with the 8 o'clock starts and, you know, Clemson's got Virginia down 40 or whatever it is, and people find something else to do. But that's why that number was so important and impressive Saturday is, hey, that game got ugly. Let's be honest. Clemson scored 34 in a row after going down 3-0. But yet the numbers, over 10.2 million watching it. And again, a million more than anybody else, whether it be the SEC or Big Ten or anybody else out there playing. So, again, it's a testament to how good the league's been this year. It's been a tremendous year in terms of teams in the top 25, teams in the college football playoff, championship numbers on television, Notre Dame being involved this year, I think has added some eyeballs and interest level too. You know, not two divisions. We've had two best teams playing for a title. And then we've gone through these awards here the last 2 days, and you just see the quality of players, first team, second team, third team. And you go, man, how's Roche and Boogie Basham, third team defensive ends in this league? That's how good this conference is. I mean, it's crazy, right? But it's a testament to how good the ACC's been this year in college football.
Yeah, throw it in defensive end, running back, take your pick, right? I mean, the depth, not just at the quarterback spot, and as we talked earlier last week, quarterback depth is going to be pretty significant next year. So a lot to look forward to in 2021. Before we go on Christmas break, 2 days, by the way, Thursday and Friday, we will not be here. Although we do have a special Friday morning show for you. We'll talk about that coming up. Time for true and false, or true or false. Maybe both. Who knows? Ladies and gentlemen, we go to Bristol. Lead singer, driver of the Winnebago, is one Andrew Brooks. He of the desert in Arizona.
Not anymore. I'm in the frozen tundra of Bristol, Connecticut, where we probably won't see grass until April.
Nah, you're all right.
Just come down and hit balls with Billis. He's seeing grass every day. Yep. So there you go.
All right. So we got a bunch of good basketball questions for you today. It can be true, false, or true and false, depending on how you want to answer it. We're going to start with something you guys have spent a lot of time talking about, which is the fact that there are no ACC teams in the top 10 or 15. But true or false, the ACC will finish with at least one team in the AP top 10 when the regular season is over.
False.
Ooh.
False.
You don't think so, huh?
No, I just think that we've got, again, glob at the top. I just don't know if anybody's good enough to break away and just go crazy on a conference schedule and be 17-3. I don't think that animal today exists since we're asking the question on December 23rd. So I'm going to say false. I don't think we're going to have a top 10 team. Hate to say it.
You remember the old five-way tie at 12-4 in the old days? Remember those?
Yeah.
Right? 12-4, and then like fifth place was 8-8. Remember that? There was a four-way tie at 12-4. I think it was 95. And then fifth place was 8-8. I think we're kind of going to be in that neighborhood. But I think we'll have one in the top 10 at the end. I don't know if we'll have it at the tournament, but we have one at the end, the last AP poll, because the question is, we'll finish. So that would be after the Final Four. I think we'll be able to squeeze one. I'm not sure more than one.
Yeah, Wes, I hope you are right, that we can kind of get an alpha. Somebody becomes the alpha in the league. I think we've got some contestants, but I just haven't seen that team yet as of December 23rd.
There you go. Fair enough, right? Fair enough. Okay, Drew.
As of now, Kentucky is 0 for the ACC. Big game on Saturday. True or false, the ACC will sweep Kentucky in hoops this season.
True.
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 True. Been waiting to say it for years. True. Come on, Chris Mack. Do us a solid.
Well, you know, hey, listen, we had videos. These two don't like each other. Their fans don't like each other. They both love college basketball, which I respect. And Kentucky, for the most part, had the upper hand lately in the series. I get all that. But, man, I've seen Kentucky now. They got all kinds of stuff going on. So it's a great rivalry. Again, as I mentioned to Jay, first time since 08 that neither are ranked when they're going to see each other. Traditionally, they are, you know, got a number beside their name. It won't matter. They don't like each other, and they will get after it on Saturday. So, but I'm still going to go true until Kentucky beats an ACC team. I got to see it first. So far, I haven't. Yeah. They're 0-3.
There we go. All right, Cards, you're on deck Saturday. Counting on you, Louisville.
Georgia Tech has not had an ACC leading scorer since 1990 with Dennis Scott. Wow. True or false, Moses Wright, who is currently leading the league in scoring, will finish the season leading the ACC in scoring?
False.
False. Yeah.
False.
I like him, though.
By the way, Georgia Tech UAB canceled tonight over in Birmingham. COVID issues with the Blazers. So Georgia Tech will not play again until they host North Carolina in ACC play. I would say Moses Wright's going to have a really good year, but he's not going to lead the league in scoring. So right. False.
I agree. Agree 100% on that. And it's hard to believe it's been 30 years since the Jackets have had that bestowed upon them as a leading scorer in the league. Of course, those teams that Kremins and the boys had now, that was a special group. They were fun.
Yeah, that's right, Mark. Mark, that's right. Dennis Scott, Brian Oliver, Kenny Anderson. It's great teams. What's your name? What's your name again? Billy? Billy. No, that's your dad. That's your dad. You're Mark. I'm sorry. Mark.
Mac. I love it.
Mark. Yeah, it's great.
Yep.
Sorry, Drew. Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, so we're going to be honest here on the program. This question was written last night before we knew that Coach Keats was going to join us next. And I probably should tell you that he's listening to how you're about to answer this last question.
Won't matter.
But true or false, NC State is the best basketball team in the state of North Carolina?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, today, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, how would you – I don't know how you disagree with that, given that Duke struggles.
True.
We haven't seen Wake. State's gotten off to a good start and again, took care of business last night. The answer to that right now, today, is true.
Yeah.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. Already A-list day, guest-wise, and we're going to conclude that with our next guest because he's fresh off of beating North Carolina, and so life is good, man. Life is really, really good.
Shoe game.
Wolfpack
Shoe game
Nation.
On fire the whole bit.
Yeah, yeah. Let's bring on the coach. Kevin Keats joins us. Coach, good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And congratulations. That was a great way to start the ACC campaign last night.
Mark, it's so good to see you today. Your co-host I saw last night, and we won a huge game last night, and yet he comes in today with kind of a blue, purpleish sweater.
I have to say
I'm a little shocked. I thought he would have something red on. This morning, but that's okay. That's still my guy.
I just want
you to know that.
This is not blue. This is like gray. Really?
Well, it shows up a little blue on camera. Yeah. Just so you know that.
Oh my God! I
got to tell you, it does look like the old Dean Smith basketball camp T-shirt on underneath there.
Keith, unbelievable! Really, you're unbelievable. First of all, congratulations on the win last night, and I want to tell you, I thought we saw young guys embrace the moment last night. Jordan and I were talking about Shaquille Moore acted like he'd waited all his life to play in a State Carolina game when you brought him in the ball game.
Man, I did a tremendous job of subbing last night, Tom. I can tell you that I got the right pieces in. It was a great – I'm not telling you I did a great coaching job, but I subbed the right way, which is good. No, you know, when you think about a guy like Shaquille Moore, we played four freshmen last night. Three of them were from the state of North Carolina and one being from Virginia. And those guys were really excited to have an opportunity to play in a game. And the great thing about freshmen is they don't have any conscience. And, man, he was tremendous. He came in, gave us a great lift, played great, shot the ball well, you know, got a tremendous dunk. And those guys are good. Our young guys are going to be really good players for us.
Coach, the amount of work that you put into Moore's jumping ability to fly like Superman for that dunk, it's really paid off. I'm glad he's listening to whatever you're teaching, because when he went airborne for the dunk, I literally came off the couch and went, yikes. Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, that was some kind of play.
Well, Mark, that's why I'm almost leaning towards you becoming my favorite guy on the show, because you understand the development of players.
Right.
And, you know, not only do we work on their jump shot and their offense, you know, I pull out a lot of my old tape and I show them how I used to jump and say, if you can get to this level, you're going to be really good. And so I'm excited about that kid. Ooh. That kid has really listened to me.
Yeah.
And just wait till you see him next game. He'll do something else that I taught him.
But that was, I mean, seriously, right, that was one of those wow moments. And that's, you know, that to me as a fan sitting at home, that's when you really miss 18,000, right? Because you could have just sensed the anticipation of the wind and the air being taken out of the building. We're getting ready to go, and bam, there it is. I mean, that was some kind of play.
It was, that game was a tremendous game. It always is. Unfortunate for us that, you know, we didn't have our fans there in person to see the game. I know everybody followed it on this network and everybody had a chance to see it. But it was a great game. I thought our guys played, you know, 40 minutes of very competitive basketball and did some tremendous things and played with some toughness. You know, when you play against a good Carolina team that really rebounds the ball and get out in transition, you know, you have to do a lot of good things to combat that. And I thought our guys played very aggressive and was excited about it. You know, it's tough on us because we have some of the most passionate fans in the country, whether we're playing at Reynolds Coliseums or we're playing at PNC. And certainly I was sad that they missed it in person, but glad we got the win.
Coach, what did it mean to have last night? I mean, you and I talked yesterday about the game you wanted to go play. You felt you needed to go play a road game at St. Louis last week. It didn't go your way. But in hindsight to last night, did St. Louis in some small way kind of help you get last night done?
Yeah, Wes, we lost Michigan, we lost UConn, and we lost our opener with Louisville. And so we weren't going to have a team that was going to challenge us to be able to play against North Carolina. If you go back to the St. Louis game, it was the same identical game. I think we were up, you know, 7 points at the half, and we just ran out of gas and couldn't finish the game. By us playing that game, I think that helped us win this Carolina game because we got some experience and our guys learned from their mistakes. And then it was good to have at least one guy back. Cam Hayes came in, not in great shape because he's been out for so long, but he came in and gave us a spark also.
Coach, it's also got to be good too. I mean, you guys got off to such a good start. You're up there 16-17 point lead. You knew North Carolina was going to make a run. They've done that really all year already. Falling behind, and here comes a run. And so now they go on a run. It cuts it to one. You know, in some respects, yeah, you'd like it to be easy and you win a game by double digits. But you find out about a team, though, don't you? When you go through arch rival, yeah, there's no fans there. But your guys, hey, you took a shot and you got off the mat. And you said, let's go close it. And you did. As soon as North Carolina got tight, you guys took it to another gear. I mean, that's a sign of a good – that's, to me, a really good sign of a good basketball team, one that will respond to adversity.
Mark, I have to give a lot of credit to my senior. Devin Daniels and Braxton Beverly were they were just calm, you know, and this is where Devin Daniels has matured over the years. He's been a guy that would play emotional. You know, he was playing great at the start of the game. He got his second foul. Man, in the timeouts, he was unbelievable. At halftime, he was great. You know, he took the game over in the late stretch of the game when he made 7 or 8 straight points to help seal the game. And, man, Braxton Beverly, just tough, you know, played great. Those two guys kind of led us to that win, and they refused to let us lose that game.
All right, so now here's the conundrum, so to speak. You've come back, you've picked up this win, and now you have a few days, you know, where you kind of relax, and then you start again next week. How do you maintain the momentum, the chemistry? Because I know you just went through the pause and you talked about missing those ball games, but you got to try and maintain this somehow, right? That's the challenge?
Yeah, Wes, we're a tired basketball team. We've played, you know, three games in a span of 6 or 7 days. And our guys need a break. You know, I know there's been a lot of debates around college basketball, whether you give your guys some time off. You know, our guys left today, and they'll come back on the 26th. We'll quarantine when they come back and then get ready to play a game on the 30th. But that being said, you know, you never want to stop playing basketball when you're playing really good basketball, and I thought our guys have been doing that. But our guys need a break. They need to see their family. It's Merry Christmas. It's one of those things where I think that's the best thing mentally to get their minds right to be ready to play the stretch that we have in the ACC.
Kevin, I know that the number one concern is your team and the safety and the health. And this year it's been pushed to the limit for everybody, regardless of sport. But have you had a chance to just kind of take a look around of the league and just kind of get a sample of what, you know, you saw North Carolina last night. You know, Duke's had a couple big games of note. Florida State's doing their thing. Virginia's their deal. Have you got a handle yet of what this league feels like and looks like outside of NC State?
Yeah, I don't. And it's weird because it's so many games that's been canceled. You know, it was so many great games that could have happened in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, one of us. And then I think the Virginia-Michigan State game, some of the non-conference games that you would normally get a chance to see and figure out how good everybody is. I think our league is open. I think we got a great league. I think it's a competitive league. I think on any given night, any team can win, whether it's home or on the road, because there's no home court advantage because of fans. But I like the way our league has competed. I haven't had a chance to really look around as much as I would like. I've been more concentrating on our guys. As you know, COVID has changed the way everybody has to play. When you look at teams that come back off a break, because they had to pause from COVID. It's been a tough road from everybody, and including us, and we were able to bounce back.
All right, so you go through this pause, and now you kind of come back and get a couple ball games. DJ Funderburk worked out before the game last night. I know he was on your bench during the game. You expect him to play on the 30th? You hope to get him back?
I hope, Wes, but it's not my call. And I've said this all along, and we have to be very cautious about before we putting the guy back on the floor. It takes such a long time to return to play. You know, obviously, everybody that's safe and the health of these kids is the most important thing. I didn't know that I was getting Cam Hayes until the day of the game. And so hopefully we can get DJ to the point where we feel like that he can come out there. And it's a little different for us because we're a pressing and running team. And so we want to make sure that our guys are able to play the way we need them to play.
Coach, Wes and I have kicked around this before, and we don't know the answer to this, and hopefully you do. But has there ever been any kind of directive from the top, wherever the top is, about the number of players you have to have a game? I mean, can you go out and play a game with four players?
I was told that you could play with five. Now, think about that now. You imagine me at NC State and I'm trying to press for 40 minutes and we're trying to run with five. I think we can start the game. My question was, if I start the game with five, you know we're going to foul somebody out. Then are we going to finish the game with four? Yeah. There is no set number. I know football was a little different. I think they had a set number. We don't have one. I think it comes down to how comfortable you are. You know, I know when we were going to St. Louis, I was prepared to play with eight guys and okay with it. But five guys will be tough in our system. Maybe we'll try it. I don't want to get to that point, but maybe I'll try it.
I hope not.
All right. I hope you don't have to do that either. Or else you end up pulling the Gene Hackman, as I call it, in Hoosiers. My team is on the floor. I only got four guys.
That's right.
All right. So here's the deal. Last night, you probably knew when I asked you yesterday if you were going to wear the Gucci shoes with the wolf on them, you said no, not going to do that. But then you did pull out Gucci's last night, but they were custom Adidas Superstar Gucci designs. And you had to combat Roy wearing the throwback low-cut Jordan 1s, didn't you? You had to find an equalizer last night for the Hall of Famer, didn't you?
Well, listen, what you just said, and I don't expect this from you, is totally incorrect. They were not Adidas. They were Gucci. They were not Adidas. They were Gucci. And I love my Adidas, but they were straight Gucci shoes. And they were great because they had red. They were red and white. They were our colors. And Roy's got, listen, he's got a great collection of shoes. You know, he and I debated. We debated about this because we talked about this. Should we just break protocol and we both wear, I wear my red blazer and he wear his blue blazer. We decided not to do that because we didn't want to make anybody else mad in the league. But my shoes were great. And I picked those shoes out right before the game, just so you know, Wes.
Okay. All right.
Misinformation. And you usually, I'm going to tell you something, as a guy who's always on point, you usually don't make that mistake. Don't blame it on the internet because you should ask. You should ask me.
I got to be honest.
I asked your, I'm not going to tell you where I got my information, but somebody said they were custom Adidas to look like, but now that you've told me they're straight Gucci, I'm more than happy to apologize and certainly glad to know that you had that exemption from your apparel contract.
Well, listen, I'm wearing Adidas up top. They don't tell me what shoes they're wearing in the game, so I think I'm safe in that.
You are safe. You're good. I got to tell you, I kind of like everybody chilling out and relaxed on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I do. If Jay Wright wants to wear the $5,000 suit, he looks good in anything doing this thing. But I think it's kind of cool that you guys are hey, you're at a game. I mean, let's go play.
Mark, do you think this should be the attire for the rest of our career? Or
yes.
You think we should go back to the suits?
No, I'm not a suit guy. All right. If you see me in a tie, ooh, I'm either going to a funeral or a wedding, and I don't like to go to either. So, I'm a baseball hat, wear a pair of jeans, and life is good and going down the road. So I think you guys are comfortable. I mean, you're at a sporting event, for crying out loud. You're coaching. So you're sweating, you're screaming, you're going nuts. So, man, relax and look the part. The whole suit thing, you can put the suits away as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, Wes, I think I touched a nerve with him. He doesn't like suits. He knows he doesn't like suits. Hey, based on what you're saying, Mark, I'm going to make a recommendation that we don't wear suits anymore. That's it.
No more suits. Listen.
No more suits.
Teaching those kids how to fly like Superman, you can wear whatever you want, Coach. I'm going to tell you right now because that was a great – you know, you almost kind of felt too – as I'm sitting at home last night watching you guys and Wes and Jordan – you know, at home, you talked about no home court advantage, but you still have to hold serve at home. I don't care what league you're in. You know, whether it be North Carolina, Boston College, anybody in between, whatever you want, you got to win those games at home. And that was a really, really important win for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, for us, it's a great win. We played against a good program, the number 17 team in the country. But more importantly, you get a chance to be 1-0 in this conference, and that's tough. And we're excited about that. We just want to continue to build on that win and get better.
Yep. Congratulations and Merry Christmas.
Here's the other thing, too. I just remembered this. If you quit wearing suits and go to this casual look that Packer's suggesting, man, you're going to have some sort of yard sale at your place because you got unbelievable gear.
No, if we do that, if we decide to do that, I'm going to make it even better. I'm gonna auction all my suits to charity.
There you go.
I want to do that. If we ended up doing that and we ended up going that direction, I'm going to auction them all for charity. And, look, thank you guys for having me. You guys are the best. You know that. I don't have to tell you. I'm not trying to blow your head up a little bit, but you're the best. You do a great job. Enjoy your family. Make sure that you don't give bad gifts to your wives.
Oh, no.
For Christmas. Never hear the end of it. Do not give a bad gift.
No.
Wes, you hear me now, Wes. You're laughing.
Hey, Kevin.
My wife has showed me already this thing she showed me. I think it was on TikTok or somewhere. She showed me about a wife that had a robe. And everybody got what they wanted. And the wife said she had a robe. And so I'm just telling you, Wes, and I know
TikTok.
How you are, and I know your wife. Please don't give a bad gift.
Coach, let me tell you something.
I give a bad gift.
It's not that you're going to hear the end of it, because if you give the bad gift, TikTok. You won't be in the same house to hear the end of
That's
it.
That's it. Keats is not even on the same floor right now. Keats not even on the same floor. So something must have happened already with Georgette. Keats not even on the same floor. He's in the basement. He's like you, Pac. He's living in the basement.
Coach knows.
Hey, you weren't supposed to share that with everybody, Wes. Some of the things that you and I talk about, you don't know, should talk about on the air.
That's it.
Yeah, great. Here we go. I'm in more trouble.
That's only because we're being safe now. Don't just say I got pushed. But listen, I'm going to get out of that basement because I'm going to give a good gift. I'm telling you, I'm going to give a good gift.
Hey, Coach, I'm going to counter you, though. I've already given Mrs. P a great gift, and she still wants me in the basement. And that's okay. We're going to be all right with that deal. So it all works.
Wow.
It all works.
Hey, Coach, Merry Christmas.
I know. I believe
you're the man. Guys.
Be good. Thanks,
Coach. You're the best. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys. Merry Christmas.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We have offered up several moments on this show all related to one thing as we move forward in a calendar year, and that is when a student-athlete joins us, we always ask, what is the toughest class?
I ask this question to every student-athlete. During your career at Florida State, at Wake Forest, Boston College, at the University of Louisville, what has been the hardest class?
Ooh.
Oh, man.
It's a tough question.
Oof. My most difficult.
I try to pride myself on being a pretty good student.
Not even close. I took honors organic chemistry my first semester in college.
The hardest class I had at Clemson was a music class.
I had a public policy class last semester that really hurt me.
Beethoven and I don't know.
I had to do so many papers, and the papers would be real long. I don't know what you could talk about for 10 pages.
I decided to take like an astronomy class for some odd reason.
I really enjoyed AP chemistry in high school, and I had convinced myself coming in that I was gonna be a chem major, and organic chem quickly decided that I wasn't gonna be a chem major.
I did good, mom and dad. I did good in class, but it worked me.
All those old, like Mozart,
Tchaikovsky,
stuff like that.
That kind of thing?
Beethoven? Yeah, exactly. That name just rung a bell. Yeah.
You're thinking astronomy. You're thinking the Big Dipper, right? The North
exactly
Star.
Right.
You're thinking solar system, right?
I'm going to cringe if you answer this the way I think you might.
I had to say Spanish.
I would have to say Spanish. Spanish. Yeah.
Spanish is not, in my opinion, the hard. I took 3 years of Spanish at Louisville.
I'm not going to lie to you, probably Spanish.
And I know one of my other
teammates said that, and I didn't want to say that, but it's true.
My freshman algebra class was the hardest for me.
Probably this calculus course that I'm in right now.
My finite math class.
Stats for business.
It would have to be math 15, 25, or 26.
And it just hit, and it...
We ain't use much numbers in the math class.
I just felt like the whole math was just in a different language.
Being in that class, like,
this isn't for me.
Yeah.
I just lost the ability of math after high school.
Only because I had to teach myself.
You had to teach yourself. What's the story there?
What? Whoa, what?
Well, info classes, they're online, so you have to teach yourself the math.
Hey, Durham, how about that deal? Wes Durham is notorious on this show for having issues with math, algebra, calculus, whatever the case may be.
Math was my Achilles in the worst possible way. As a three-time attempter at finite math, math would be the downfall of a lot of people, my man. It's a long, sorrowful tale about me and math, but calculus, man, I just shudder thinking about that.
My hardest course was definitely econ.
The econ 101.
Don't look forward to Charleston, the economist in the future.
Now, come on. Let me tell you, econ's easy. I'm just going to tell you for future consideration, I was an economics major, so you're talking to an econ major right here. You know, I was an econ guy at Clemson, and if you got some issues, I'm a phone call away to help you out on that. All right? So if I can ever be of help.
Charles, no. There'll be no calling Packer.
You work on my hair, I'll work on your econ, we'll be good to go. All right, is that a fair deal?
Got to.
All right. Student athletes are great.
Thanks to Matt. Great job. Fabulous. Putting Excellent. All that together. And it is our favorite part of the show. Absolutely. Bar none. Student athletes are tremendous. Great representatives of their institutions and certainly of the ACC. All right, Pac, end of the line. Merry Christmas to you and the family. Hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. We're back here on Monday. Get ready for bowl week, right? Yep. That's the way we got it set up, I think, right?
And Friday morning, ho, 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 I'm telling you, wake up, grab a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and check out the Christmas special, award-winning. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Have a great holiday, folks. We'll see you on Monday at 7 a.m. Stay safe.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.